There are other people who are actually helping out there. And I kind of like said to my wife, I think they'll be fine. Let's go. And she says to me, why did you just go? You know what? I couldn't just, I felt like if it was me in that situation, it would be so, you know, devastating for me to be left. To be left alone there. So friends, this is not a sermon. I'm bearing my heart here. That these situations happen all the time. And we are disrupted in our comfort. Isn't it? God brings these disruptions all the time. So last night was one of those. I'm like, we just had a lovely conference, man. I just want to go home and rest. And she was like, what if it was me? It is far much more. I don't know if actually it hit home when it is someone that is close to you in that particular situation and circumstance. So you can say amen, Ana. Doesn't matter, you know. But I think what I'm seeing here with Elijah, there's a poor widow, but there's a depressed prophet, and there's a national crisis. A poor widow, a depressed prophet, and a national crisis. So in the midst of all of that, God still provides.
Amen.
In the midst of this national crisis, God uses his creation to provide for Elijah, for his sustenance. He says, don't worry, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Friends, I don't know what your situation might be. Some of us are battling to make ends meet. We don't know where our next meal is going to come from. But God is saying, I have provided for you in some odd places. You will be sustained and you will baffle, you will marvel at where this provision has come from. Are we together? Are we together? I think if we sing, these are the days of Elijah. If we sing, these are the days of Elijah. You know, I don't know if we have the faith enough to believe God. Because the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. Do we really believe God to be who he is? That he will provide for us in spite of our circumstances.
Amen.
Come on, I just want to preach black. I'm taking you back to the classroom this morning. Because in the classroom, there will be amen, hallelujahs. But I don't know, Ana, but they'll be coming, bring it on. It's uncomfortable for me, but bring it on. Because church is not supposed to be a place where we are comfortable in our pews. Amen. It is supposed to be a place where I'm actually rubbing against something. It's iron sharpens iron type of experience.
Yes,
so God will provide. If we believe the word of God for what it is, when it says the righteous shall live by faith, then we should expect help to come from all places. And so what is God's agenda here? I really believe when we deal with the issues in our city, when we deal with the distortions in our city, because the ideas have consequences. Ideas have consequences. So Israel was worshipping an idol. They were worshipping idols, right? And whatever was going on there, it was not God's original intention. So a prophetic witness had to rise up in Elijah. But he thought he was alone, but he was not alone. Right? There was another guy who was kind of like, you know when you're in and you're not really in, you're in, one foot is in here, one foot is eating with the masters, you know?
Yeah.
One foot is, so he was actually, he had hidden other prophets. So there were other prophets who were around. But Elijah felt alone. Ever felt alone? Ever felt alone? You know, I come from a small church in Luhuruti. It's also another Baptist church. In a classroom too.
Amen.
I was the only youth. We used to, Tabi used to go to Maroto Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Now she, what mass choir there.
Yeah.
They will fill the stage.
Yeah, okay.
They will fill the stage.
Yeah.
I was, whenever they said, Luhuruti Baptist Church.
I think you said it.
So they would just pull off these songs, you know, and they would just sing, you know, mass choir thing. I'm like, I'm not gonna go there and sing. And I did what I'm good at. I actually did a one man play.
Oh, wow.
So what is God's agenda here? What is He showing us with Elijah? God wants to restore our rest. He wants to restore our rest because we live such busy lives, friends. Idolatry takes us into that space of just frantically seeking after things. A.W. Tozer says that, you know, God created a man. I'm sorry, my friend, I'm making your life very difficult. I see the guys are moving this camera like yesterday, and we're going live on Facebook. Hello, Facebook people. So God created man, and he made man like this. Inside of man, A.W. Tozer says, there is a shrine where only he would dwell. And then sin enters into our lives, and man pushed God out of the center, out of the shrine. And he took, you know, he made toys for him that were meant to be external. In the pursuit of God, have you read it? They were supposed to be external toys for him to play. And what man has done, he's taking these toys and put them inside and pushed God outside. And what is happening is that he said, these things are dangerous usurpers. They are fighting for first place.
Yeah.
Right? No wonder there is no peace until Christ enters into your heart.
Amen.
You never wonder there is no peace because things are fighting for first place. Yes. What Louise has just done today is saying, Christ, be the center of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, rest begins with God. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11 says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day.
Amen.
Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I'm not talking about Sunday here. Here, I think God was teaching a principle which we have lost.
Yeah.
You know, He's teaching a principle which we have lost. Rest is an ideal that comes from God. The law of the Sabbath also in Exodus 23 verse 10 to 12 says, 6 days you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field. Listen to that. He moves from people taking care of each other, but then taking care of nature as well.
Mm.
Yes. How we have moved away from this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like in like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. That your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. Rest is an idea that comes from God.
Amen.
So we see that with idolatry, that we see, that we observe in the text, you know, that there was no rain because people were actually chasing after the wrong things. And so when we see things that are happening in our nation today, it's because we have allowed idolatry to actually enter into our hearts, friends, of materialism, competing with the cars that we drive, competing with the clothes we wear. I don't know about you, but I grew up in an environment where there was a swanker generation. You know what a swanker is? Those guys are saying to you, yeah. Be careful what you're stepping on here. You check what you're stepping. You know, don't step my shoes with those shoes of yours. The swanker generation. But we see it all the time. So I want to expose the enemies of rest. You want to know what the number one enemy of rest is? And we see it in Elijah's day. Purposeless living. Where we live lives that have no purpose. You know what we're doing? We're just doing this. We're taking that dart and we're just closing our eyes, and wherever it lands, that's it. Purposeless living. And people who are purposeless, we end up actually competing with careers. We compete. And in fact, the sooner we deal with our young people, you see, young people, the sooner you deal with your self-image, the better. Don't think it'll wear out over time. We have old people who are like, 70 years old, even my age, about 40 or 40 something, us. We are still competing. My neighbor builds a double story house, and I'm going to pull up a triple story house. I'm going to show them, man, I can face them. Face them. Purposeless living. Well, our lives are without purpose. And friends, our purpose, we have a corporate purpose. It is actually encapsulated in that Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Yes. And it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. I'm sure Jeremy and the J-Live guys have actually unpacked it a lot. I've had the privilege of facilitating their material. That is our corporate purpose. Collectively, when you come through the water of baptism and you are, you now have a purpose.
Amen.
You don't have to. I don't understand why we have Christians that are confused about why they are here. Friends, you can't be confused about why you are here. You need to be moved with the things that actually breaks the heart of God.
Yes.
Including the racial issues that the city is faced with. Do you understand that we have inherited apartheid town planning, which literally keeps people away from each other? You know, so you're like that guy who does like love your way to better marriage is like, you know, the boxes for men is like, no, these boxes do not touch. Now, the way that these masters did, the architectural design of Cape Town is in such a way, I mean, the town planning of Cape Town is in such a way that these communities don't touch. They should not touch each other. Stay apart. You never thought I could speak. You never thought I could speak your language, ne? You know what? I'm a culture broker, so I've been able to actually, you know, immerse myself and learn some things. You know the thing that you say in Cape Town here? Don't go to that beach. There's this element. What's that element? What do you mean?
Yeah.
About there's this element. There's a black element there. So don't go there because there's a black element. Yeah, that beach is contaminated.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. A child of God enters in there. That is why we are not peace lovers. We are peacemakers. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference. A peace lover is one who says, stay your side, I stay my side. We don't touch. We don't touch. You stay on your side and we maintain the peace. But Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. A peacemaker enters into conflict and brokers the peace. They are not, they don't care for their lives. They enter into a space, they broker the peace. So our corporate purpose is clear, my friends. Elijah's purpose was clear. It was clear. Self-centeredness. We live lives that are so self-centered, you know? Last night's revelation of me, I was self-centered. It was more about, you know, this is inconveniencing me. You remember I've been speaking about, hey, inconvenience yourself. Hey, this is like an inconvenience. It's raining. Hey, my digits are getting wet. I became self-centered. You never thought that preachers do battle with these things. Now I'm on this platform. I'm showing you. I'm not Jesus yet. There's only one Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, there's only one Jesus. Yeah. Aren't we all glad there's only one Jesus?
Amen.
There's only one Jesus who lived a perfect life. One holy Lamb washed our sins away.
Amen.
One perfect holy Lamb.
Yes.
His blood is spotless.
Amen.
My blood is not innocent. But his blood is spotless. I had a guy say to me, no. Jesus lied to us though. What do you mean he lied to us? He said he's coming, but he's never been. He's not back yet. How long have you been waiting? And I'm like, can I correct that theology? And I'm not a theologian by any stroke of my imagination. But I just want to correct that theology. As far as I read the word, it was not Jesus who said the date. He said, yeah, I will come back, but according to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to the Father. So anytime could be tea time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the fact. Even when his disciples said to him, are you going to restore the kingdom to yourself? They said,
relax. You know? Don't bother yourself with the days that the Father has set up according to his own authority. But wait, tarry here.
Amen.
You shall receive power from on high.
Let me
hurry up because I can see the winner, you know, in that oven is getting burnt by the self-centeredness is really about us just, you know, looking after self. The next enemy of rest is twisted priorities. We have twisted priorities. Friends, you know what? God wants us to become, then to do, then we will have. Be, do, have. But you know what we have done? We have, and therefore we do because what we have, then we be.
Yeah.
So we have. I have a Mercedes Benz. Therefore I do the things that people who are driving a Mercedes Benz do. And therefore I am. Did you see the problem? Twisted priorities. God has called us to become. Be like Christ.
Amen.
Ah, be like
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Oh, you know what? We are all in the process of becoming.
Yeah.
We are not just human beings. I'm a human becoming.
Yeah.
I am not what I was 20 years ago. Physiologically, obviously. Because I used to have small hair on the top. And then this beard was a lot more darker.
Okay.
I have become something else physiologically. But if that is the case with my physiological body, my body, then what more about my character?
Yes.
And God wants us to be more like Christ as we move into this beautiful rest. God wants us to take us into this rest. Friends, Elijah teaches us. And though he was only a mere human, and at some point, God will come through.
Amen.
God comes through.
Mm-hmm.
He provides.
Mm-hmm.
Through a raven, he provides through a widow who herself is struggling.
Yes.
And in the end, God will show up and only he will take the glory.
Amen. Yeah.
Only he will take the glory.
Amen.
He is our
Amen.
Jireh.
Yes.
He is enough.
Yes. Amen.
He is enough.
Mm.
And as we seek to live for God, we walk away from these doors into the mission field. Know that you're not alone. You are not on your own. God is with you.
Amen.
He will provide you strength for the journey. At some point, he says, get up, eat, for the journey is long. So for the work you guys are doing, Peter, in the city, get up, eat. The journey is long. I said yesterday that we are caught up in single generational living. We have this escapism mentality. You know, please help people with twisted theology, thinking that we are getting saved so that we can just go to an eternal holiday in heaven. I know some of you got saved because of that. I want to escape this earth. But God is saving us to get work, get to work. Like the old Salvation Army would say, saved to serve.
That's what
those S's stands for. Saved to serve. Rolled up sleeve salvation. It's not about being in a comfortable, you know, church with nice warm heaters and so on and singing lekker songs. It is about getting actually stuck in and getting our hands dirty for the gospel. It will inconvenience us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for CBC. What you're doing here, Father God. Even just a beautiful moment with Louise just going through the water of baptism. We thank you, Father God. In that we understand that we have a purpose. Oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us a corporate purpose to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. I pray, Father God, for each and every person here, whatever they're going through, Father, provide for them from all places, places that they never thought you would come through. Some people are seeking jobs, O Lord. Come through, O Lord, and provide for them, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And when you have provided, help us, Father God, to remember to come back and thank you and worship you, Father God, with the income you've given us. Because you said it is he who gives you the strength to make wealth. Oh, Lord, help us not to forget our source. Let us plug into you, our source, oh, Lord, at all times. Thank you for Peter and Janine and the leadership of this church. And Father God, strengthen them. Leading a church is not easy. Father, I ask you that you would just continue to just bless them, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.